Back to the island of Euclidea, the magic island of the South Pacific Ocean. That's the plan of the Gregory party, which had so many weird adventures there before. At one time, and not so long ago, our friends had but one thought, to escape from Euclidea. Now they're planning to return to the strange island, but this time they'll be much better prepared to guard themselves against the weapons of G-47 and his scientists. In the library of Mrs. Gregory's beautiful home in Los Angeles, Captain Bradford is explaining his preparations for the trip. The clock is striking 12, midnight, and Mrs. Gregory, Jerry, and Joan seem greatly excited as the captain outlines his ideas.
But the thing I want you all to understand is this. There's just as much danger in this trip as there was in the last one, possibly more.
That's the part that I can't understand, Tex. You admit we'll be going into certain danger, and yet you're willing to take Joan and Jerry into that danger with us.
The captain has explained all that, Mother.
Oh, sure he has, Mrs. Gregory. It'd be a lot more danger for Joan and I to stay here than it will be with you.
That's it, exactly.
You three seem to understand it perfectly. But somehow I can't quite admit that a trip to that strange island is as safe as anything else.
Do you not understand that there are at least 5 of the Euclideans here in Los Angeles?
I realize that,
Joan, and you know they're going to watch Joan and me pretty close.
Yes, I suppose you're right. Well, we'll do it together.
Now you're talking like your old self, Pat. This is the first time I've ever known you to hesitate where an adventure was concerned.
I am glad you're willing to have Jerry and me with you, Mother.
Boy, so am I. When do we start, Captain Bradford?
Within the next few minutes. Johnson is completing preparations at the harbor, and we will leave there when he telephones.
Boy, I'd like to be down there helping him right now.
There's a good reason why you're not doing that, Jerry. We've got to preserve as much secrecy about this thing as possible. So I doubt if we're making a move that the Euclideans don't know all about.
You may be very sure on that point, Captain. If you have made any move visible to eyes other than your own, some one of the Euclidean agents has observed it.
That's why I'm so worried about the outcome of this whole thing. Those scientists know everything we intend to do almost before we know it ourselves.
Well, that's what I say. Why not come right out and tell them what we're going to do? We're losing a lot of time trying to hide things from them and they can find them out anyway. Why not save that much time and get going?
Well, these Euclideans are clever, but they haven't learned all the tricks. When we sail out of the harbor this time, we'll have a trick or two on board the G-47 won't know a thing about.
Are you quite confident that that is possible, Captain?
You bet I am, Joan.
But, Tex, you've had so little time to prepare anything, and they've spent their lives working miracles on that island.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that, Pat. They haven't worked any miracles on Euclidea either. G-47 and his scientists are merely a clever group of men who are devoting their lives and unlimited money to the study of science. There are hundreds of men in the world who could do the same things if they had the time and the money.
That is possible, Captain Bradford, and I have seen enough of your work to assure me that you could equal, if not surpass, the Euclideans in scientific work if you had given the same concentrated effort to it. But you have not, and it would seem to me that the advantage was with them now just as it was before.
Well, now look here, Joan. You haven't even given the captain a chance to tell us what surprises he's got ready for those men on the island.
And I'm afraid I can't tell you all about them just now. But when we're safely on the boat and out on the high seas, I'll explain the whole thing to all of you.
Why, Tex, you don't think we're being spied on here, do you?
Probably not.
Probably? I thought Mother's home was so well guarded that it was impossible for anyone to observe anything they were not supposed to see here.
I thought that once. Now I know better.
Oh, gee. What makes you say that, Captain?
Yes, Tex. You seem very sure that this home is no longer entirely safe.
Have you forgotten what happened to you three here this afternoon?
You mean that Euclidean sneaking in here and making us believe the house was on fire so he could have time to steal your valuable papers out of the study?
Well, not only that.
I felt that we were exaggerating our safety here.
But how, Tex? How?
You discovered our private phone line to the harbor was tapped, didn't you?
Yes, but it was surely tapped outside the house and probably outside the ground.
Right, but it was tapped, though it's hidden underground in a maze of cables that all look alike.
Well, what if they did tap the wire? They can't use that wire to listen in on us now, can they, in this library?
No, they can't do that. But they have been using our line for their communications. And what I've learned about their plans proves that they know all about ours.
You have proof of this, Captain?
Yes, and I'll show you in a minute. Jerry?
Yes, sir?
Will you turn the radio on?
Sure.
Throw that knob on this side over to the right, Jerry.
Oh, like this?
Yeah, that's right. Now open the top and start that turntable. The record I want you to hear is on there now. Now, if you'll all be quiet, you'll hear something interesting.
Are you ready for your instructions, S1?
I am ready.
Gee, that girl's submarine commander.
And Thales also.
Tex, where did you get that record?
I can see that we're not going to get anywhere this way. Better stop that record. I'll explain it, Jerry.
Okay, stop it is.
I am sorry that I spoke, Captain Bradford.
And I'm sorry also, Tex. But those voices upset me so that I didn't stop to think.
Well, who would stop to think when you play a phonograph in your own home and those crazy Euclideans start popping out at you?
Well, I'll explain that, but first, did you recognize those voices?
Oh, why,
Hold on, hold on a minute. One at a time. Now, you started, Joan.
There was no doubt as to the identity of the voices. The man was Thales, chief electrical expert on Euclidea, and the girl was the submarine commander who helped us to escape from the island.
What do you say, Pat?
Well, I'm not as familiar with those voices as Joan is, but I'd certainly agree with her.
Jerry?
Yeah, me too. That's who it was, all right. But how did they get there?
Well, I'll tell you. Now, when you were in the radio room this afternoon, Mrs. Gregory showed you the automatic recording device attached to our phone lines, didn't she?
Sure. We recorded what you said when we were locked in there and thought the house was on fire.
Mm-hmm, then you'll understand where this record came from. I took it off the recording machine in the radio room about an hour ago.
Tex, Thales is using our private wire to send messages to that girl submarine commander at the harbor?
No doubt of it. They made sure the wire was clear. But when they didn't think that we might have a recorder on the line, they certainly slipped up.
Sure seems funny for those smart guys to miss an easy one like that.
I think it was not so easy, Jerry.
Huh? How come?
Had they suspected a recorder at all, it would have been logical to find it on the ordinary telephone line into your home. But why should they think you would want to record your own private conversations?
I think that's right, Joan. But at any rate, they did fall into the trap, and we know something of their plans. Or did you get that much on the record?
Not as much as I would have liked, but plenty to show us that some Euclidean knows every time we take a breath.
Well, let's play the record again, and everybody still keep still all over.
Go to it, son.
I won't make a sound.
Nor will I.
Are you ready for your instructions, S1?
I am ready.
You will observe this to the letter.
I am waiting.
You will prepare to follow the Gregory boat. They will sail at midnight or shortly thereafter. Report on condition of your command.
My command is Patrol 1A, fueled for 10,000 miles.
You have received your instructions from G-47.
My course to Euclidea is to depend entirely on actions of Gregory boat.
Correct.
Do you have additional instructions for my command?
I do, as follows. You are to make no move to hinder progress of Gregory boat. You will not allow them to see you. You will not communicate with them. Allow no other craft to contact them by means other than radio. You will take any steps necessary to enforce this. That is all.
Your orders will be executed. That is all.
Well, as she said, that's all.
Is that all there is on the record?
That's enough, isn't it?
Far too much.
Shut it off, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
And what do you think of that?
It's almost unbelievable, Tex. They even knew the hour we expected to sail.
And if we had not been delayed waiting for Johnson's call, we would have sailed at 12.
We'll be underway by 1, anyhow.
Then we'd better be on the way.
We're leaving at once. Your stuff all here, Jerry?
Oh, yes, sir. Right here with me.
Then come on, Pat. You and I'll check things over in the radio room for a minute. Better take that record along, Jerry.
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you wish me to come with you, Mother?
No, Joan, dear. You remain here with Jerry. And please, both of you stay right in this room.
Yes, Mother.
Well, I'd better get this record like the captain said.
Jerry, I think I am afraid.
You're what?
I think I am afraid.
Well, don't you know if you're afraid or not?
I am not at all sure that I know what fear is. We do not know fear on Euclidea. The sensation is strange to me.
Well, I've been scared often enough. I can tell you if that's what's the matter with you. How does it feel?
I feel as if there were something creeping up my back. Something small and very cold. The back of my neck has strange chills running through it. Oh.
Oh, boy. You're scared stiff. Well, I wish you hadn't told me about it quite so well. Now, I've got those creepy things running up and down my back.
I have never felt like this before. I do not like it.
Golly, nobody likes to be scared half to death. But what got into you all at once? You've taken me through plenty of places on that funny island where I got goose pimples all over me, and it didn't bother you a bit.
That is why this feeling is so strange to me, Jerry. I did not know fear on Euclidea. But now, though I have been in this beautiful home of my mother's only a few hours, a change has come over me. I have learned something of comfort, of beauty, of the sort of happy, foolish, fun young people in your world have. And with it, fear has come.
You felt safer on Euclidea than you do in Hollywood?
Not that, Jerry. There was always danger on Euclidea, but I was part of it. Now I am not. Now your world is my world. And I realize how helpless your world is against such a man as G-47 and his scientists.
Yeah, I know how you feel. But don't forget that we've got Captain Bradford and that girl submarine commander's on our side, too.
I have told you before that you put too much faith in that girl, Jerry.
Well, she hasn't hurt us any yet. Gee, there's the telephone. That'll be Johnson calling from the harbor.
Should you not answer the telephone?
No. Your mother or the captain will get it upstairs. Now, where's your things?
My things?
Yeah, your suitcase, you know, your clothes.
I have nothing, Jerry. Mother and I were to have visited your stores tomorrow.
Oh, well, never mind, Joan. We'll see all the things I promised to show you when we come back next time.
Jerry, when will next time be?
Golly, Joan, I don't know.
No, Jerry, you do not know when we will return. Mother does not know. Captain Bradford does not know. Oh, Jerry, I am afraid.